All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and let me switch this out real quick. All right, it's Grimm's Comics Corner, and we are back with some Spawn. Let's get started. You know I like Spawn as much as you guys, and it's getting really interesting now. You know, I haven't read this stuff, so this is new to me, but hopefully you guys will enjoy it. Origins Collection, Volume 10. We're halfway through. '57 to '62. The reason that my participation in Image Comics, McFarlane Toys, and my other endeavors exists is because somewhere along the line, somebody told me it couldn't be done. You can only control one thing, and that's yourself. So if people tell you that you should quit something and you should stop doing that thing, then you are personally ready to quit. See, if you don't fight for the things that are important to you and allow others to dictate your life, then a pattern can set in that will allow you to pass the buck when things aren't personally working out for you in your life. But by determining what you want and going for it, you seize control of yourself. Now within that context, each individual has to be realistic about what they are capable of doing. This is very important. You need to determine whether you think you have a reasonable shot at breaking into this industry, and depending on your answer, how much time and effort you want to put towards that goal. I can't personally motivate you. All I can be is an example of someone who came up against a lot of the same obstacles that you did and persevered anyway. Todd McFarlane, Spawn Letters Page, Issue 60. 57, January 1997. Good year. The Beast. I'm telling you, Terry, we're gonna get nothing out of this guy. Rip, 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 rip. He didn't say a word the whole trip back, just kept mumbling under his breath. I know he's ripping a piece of paper, but you know. Now he's lying in crap, playing some psycho game with himself. This guy's a waste. What did you expect? He's been rotting in solitary for years, probably tortured regularly. I can't find any current record of his family. So we can assume they were snuffed out. And if I wasn't so damn paranoid that Wynn might be watching me, I'd put Major Fosberg someplace less nasty than your little chamber of horrors. The insult cuts deep. Spawn is tempted to break communications right then. Did you hear me? Al, you still there? I'm here. Good. What I need is that he not be traumatized any further. The trip back from the Far East, wrapped in your cloak, would unsettle anyone. So do me a favor. Keep him warm. It's freezing tonight. The cold doesn't penetrate down here. So what else do you need? There's no telling what Wynn's goons did to this guy. Oh, sorry. Time. There's no telling what Wynn's goons did to this guy. Somehow we have to convince him we're not the enemy. That's going to be tough. The only reason Fosberg's still alive is because he's valuable. Wynn would have him killed otherwise. Ka-chick! I hope you're right, Terry, because you didn't see how he was living. I'd say we're dealing more with an animal than a man. We just have to find the key, that thing that will put him back in his right mind. As Wynn's top military strategist, he'd have been privy to, look, Al, I've got to go, now. Hi, honey, you're back early, aren't you? We cut our meeting short tonight, you know, with the weather and everything. How is Cyan? With Terry gone, Spawn now sits staring at what appears to be a child hidden in a man's body, a once brilliant mind now withdrawn as a result of Wynn's brainwashing. Spawn's seen it before when he was working for Wynn. The systematic manipulation of events and actions that lead to such a state of anxiety, the mind shuts down or retreats. Family, friends, jobs. Nothing is sacred to Wynn. Any Achilles heel that can be exploited to his advantage is fair game. But he only did it if the victim had something Wynn wanted. Or needed, rather. Otherwise, they just conveniently disappeared. Instead of being left behind with nothing but their own fear. But if a sense of normality is needed to detox this victim, Spawn wonders too how being hooked up with a walking dead man from hell is going to restore this man's sanity. Still, if Al and Terry are to get their revenge, this dichotomy must be sorted out. While Fosberg is sheltered in an environment where ordinary forms mask nightmarish realities, like worms acting as carriers of evil. No, keep them away, I've done nothing wrong, I've paid for my sins! Hundreds, thousands spill forth, a flood of living tissue, twisting, fighting to get to the nourishment. They sense it, feel it, know it's near. And the Hellspawn himself, who uses the worms to reinvigorate his symbiote uniform, is momentarily caught off guard. Crash! Before being sucked off his throne and into the multitude. All around, the worms go wild. The great prophet wrote, "And those who reside in the cold shadow of sin will be forever denied the great warmth of God's embrace. For the Lord scorns those who follow the path of darkness and condemns them at death for all eternity. Then shall the sinner know the fiery pit burning for 100 lifetimes in hell's bloated belly." Spawn has lived both sides of that equation. He has to wonder which contains the greater of man's self-made horrors. His cloak fights fiercely, buffering most of the attack. Though focused on protecting its host, it senses another duty to perform. So an unspoken message is sent. The captive is straying. He must be taught the limits of his new boundaries. Learn that freedom must be given. And then only at the master's command. Him who for the past 10 minutes has been matched blow for blow by some black simian augmented to function as a cybernetic Frankenstein's monster. But the experiment also went awry, creating a savage creature whose blood-curdling wails point to inner demons needing to exact some personal form of vengeance. Its own saliva sprays back over the black ape, adding another layer to its crusted fur. More than 300 miles this hulking behemoth had traveled, ever intent on reaching its goal. The Hellspawn. Though chained physically by one of the elite devils, Al Simmons still had his soul and his aura forever bound to its existence no matter what form he may inhabit. This unique emanation acted as a beacon for the techno-composite creature, enabling it to home in on its intended target. The enigmatic sensory process has a name, instinct. Each creature has some variety of this enabling insight. So as auras send ethereal signals, our instincts pull them in. In this case, a mix of countless intangibles results in the triggering of pure, unadulterated hate. Well, adulterated, but yeah, you get it. Coursing through every synapse of its being, it also creates an opening for Spawn. For hatred must dwell someplace when dormant. That someplace is the collective body known as sin. And where lives sin, exists evil. It serves its food for those that crave its icy touch. Their great mass blots out the canopy of stars for a moment, and just as quickly they are swallowed whole by the engulfing tendrils of a crimson cloak. Shadows lie silent. Then steps forth Hell's chosen warrior, whole again, ready to resume the battle, his slitted eyes flaring with defiance. The simian prepares as well, its low rasping breath thick with deadly intent. It awaits the enemy. The enemy whose neurological fusion to his outer shell allows for regrowth and transformation. So what the warrior wills, the costume grants. The better to make ready for war. It's why Al Simmons was selected, because his internal wiring was right. The lords of hell knew his kind and their value. How, if molded properly, he could help lead the forces of... let's try that one again. How, if molded properly, he could help lead the forces of darkness to the gates of heaven, then help burn it down. For now, Earth is Spawn's training ground. Though he doesn't fully accept his fate, he knows there isn't much choice, so he deals with it. Come on, freak, let's see what you're made of. Using whatever means necessary to vanquish any who dare stand in his way. First, the setup. Spawn feigns exhaustion. For the next few minutes, he wants his enemy to perceive an advantage, however false it may be. While simultaneously goading the gorilla by mounting a counterattack each time he tries to finish the attack, driving the beast into a frustrated frenzy. causing the release of adrenaline, helping to clog the process of logical thought. Then Hellspawn and Carapace bide their time, waiting for the right moment. The perfect opening, like now. Their victims always take the bait. 15 feet from impact, our dark hero lets out what could pass for a sigh. A useless drain of power won't be needed this frigid, windswept night. There are other hellish ways. Yeah! His screams of pain are drowned out by the mind-numbing wail of an endless blanket of leathery horror, instantly encasing Spawn's challenger, then pouring through every possible orifice to methodically suffocate the prey. Their mission complete, the winged specters dissolve into night's dark bosom. Their master's interests would not be served by death. Answers are what he craves. Hints that someday his undead life, the insanity in which he now dwells, will make some sort of twisted sense. Still, maybe there is hope. Earlier, Terry Fitzgerald spoke of a trigger effect needed to draw Spawn's human prisoner from his self-induced shell. It's as the dust is settling that the trigger is pulled by an unexpected shooter. Sigor! What? Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? So you do know how to talk. Sigor, I know that name. I read the file years ago. I didn't think Wynn cared about it. Wynn? What are you talking about? I found out later that Wynn's covert circle of military allies overseas felt they were falling behind in their race to build the perfect killing machine. They discovered that a Taiwanese cartel had gotten a research and development breakthrough that put them maybe 3 years ahead. So Wynn took a shortcut, assigning one of his infiltrate. Well, that's what it says. Assigning one of his infiltrate their facility and hack into their system. Simmons, I think his name was. A few years later, this Simmons dies under suspicious circumstances, but the hit must have been a bit sloppy, since some young cadet in his division gets set to blow the whistle. Never happens, though. Rumor has it he became another guinea pig in Project Simeon. Kolnitsky? Kolnitsky was the boy's name. Intelligence said he became the one. Mike? Half monster, half man. A cybernetic gorilla. Code name Sigor. If this is him, then Wynn must have gained big financial and political rewards by selling off that research. It probably went out piecemeal if I know the Security Council. Doesn't matter though, Wynn always gets what he wants. Our blood-cloaked hero crouches close to his fallen foe, desperately trying to come to grips with what he's just heard. That somehow this beta test gone wild is linked to a throwaway mission he undertook. Scattershot, the possibilities race through his mind, with one conclusion hitting him again and again. It can't be. Not you, Mike. Look, it's moving! Imagery. Sigor's spastic gas indicate a struggle deep within, limited by what human intelligence is left. The creature relives ghastly scenarios. The tragic creature knows they are true. His real body, now replaced by hydraulic prosthetics and genetically altered tissues from man's evolutionary cousin. And then all went black, leaving nothing but pain. Primal senses were ignited, all obsessed with one objective: to track down his creator and destroy savagely. Elsewhere. You want me to believe you? Then stop dancing around. Why is this stuff here? I told you, it has to do with Wynn. Someone's helping me gather data against him. Then why were you trying to do this behind my back? We've been working on this case together. I don't know how many hours I pored over your files looking for clues that might lead you somewhere. But all this scares me, especially Wynn. Me too. It's just that I'm getting closer to nailing him big time. One or two more crucial pieces and I can go public with this. For now, this is the best way I can think of to do that. I want to support you, Terry, but sometimes I can't help wondering if all this is worth it. He knows we have a child. And if he's capable of framing you for murder, I don't believe any of us are safe if he finds out what you're up to. Made me you. As a soldier lieutenant, Colonel Al Simmons prided himself on protecting those in his regiment. As a sanctioned assassin, his pride came from consistent fulfillment of his superior's orders. He thought that was enough. Hey, where are you going? I need some space. Come back here. Don't leave me. What if Khan comes? Who are you anyways? Laughter echoes hideously through Hell's chambers as Mount Bulger reveals in the thought that his new spawn has puzzled out another piece of his macabre fate. Received the knowledge that a small measure of the world's evil was vilified by a man... was vilified by he who was once a man named Al Simmons. Heaven curses his existence. So does he. 58, February 1997, Orphans. 2 months ago, when the other boys first heard their plan, they were met with mocking laughter. Soon, that turned to scathing insults, and then to physical confrontation. But each taunting served only to make Eddie more focused on getting himself and his little brother Andy to the one person who understood them. Escaping the juvenile detention ward didn't take much. Security had always been sloppy. Of greater concern was the lack of food and money they'd need to make their long trek. Both boys knew sacrifices would have to be made, so a pact was made that neither would complain. Much. For nearly 2 weeks, they traveled by whatever means available, eating and drinking the bare minimum. The last of their money bought a pair of tickets that would soon bring their odyssey to its end. And, as the scenic landscape slowly transforms into a gray, towering monstrosity, Florence, Alabama seems a million miles away. At first, they don't know what to do. The people. There are so many of them. Then, one of the attendants at the Port Authority bus terminal guides them to an exit. They've done it. Man, where are they? Now, all they have to do is find one single person among the millions who live in this man-made jungle. New York City. The first sight of its depths has triggered a flood of emotions in every first-time visitor. Optimism, delight, apprehension, fear. Kiss, too, apparently. It's these feelings that are targeted by those who prey upon the uninitiated, the innocent. Kiss's 80s stuff is actually good. The 70s shit gets played all the time, but I really love the 80s stuff. Hey kids, you look thirsty. Have a drink. It's free. Here, let me help you with your bags. They look heavy. So where are you two heading anyway? Don't know yet. That's okay. As long as you have lots of money, you'll be alright. Look, why don't we grab something to eat, and I'll give you a few pointers for getting along. My treat. So that's pretty much the lowdown. I'm not trying to scare you or nothing, but things can get dangerous. It's just a matter of not being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We'll handle it. I'm sure you can. A couple of smart kids like you, nobody's gonna mess around in your direction. But the way your little brother packs away the food, I don't know. Things are really expensive here. Too bad you don't have a job so you can take care of him. And so the trap is set. For the rest of the evening, the man known as Snake carefully lays the groundwork, slowly maneuvering the conversation so that instead of feeling pressured, Eddie is the one who eventually asks, "Do you know anyone who has work?" The Snake leans forward, then smiles smugly. At first, the gig is penny-ante stuff. A note delivered here, a letter there. Soon it's small, unmarked packages. Slowly, other elements are introduced. First, money. That one makes the most sense to Eddie. Each is embraced by an innocent 14-year-old boy longing to feel wanted. To his credit, he indulges in moderation. It's not the highs that seduce him as much as the sense of power he gets from being a part of this urban cult. And though he understands the hypocrisy of it, that's not how you spell hypocrisy, Eddie won't allow Andy to be involved in any of it. For protecting his little brother is still a priority, but that was 30 days ago. And this is New York. Tonight, Talon Hand, skilled as a surgeon, manipulate intricate bionetics, dissecting cybernetic gearboxes previously hidden by fur. Stop it! Leave him alone! What are you doing? We're going to die! Would you shut up? I'm getting tired of your rantings! Why are you doing this? What do you want? Where's my family? God damn you! Who has my family? They're hungry! My wife, my boy, they need food. Listen, Captain Psycho, if you don't shut the hell up in about 2 seconds, I'm gonna let those worms have their way with you. You don't scare me. You see, most men don't... No, excuse me. Let's go back. You don't scare me. Yes, I do. You see, most men don't shake uncontrollably while lying in their own urine, especially those who are supposed to be military geniuses. Klitsch! You must know what this is. Surely you've seen a tracking implant before. It's routinely installed in mobile hardware units. The government stiffs don't like taking chances, especially with such an expensive item. But I'm curious to see what happens when I burst their bubble. Whether they have the guts to tackle me alone. Johnny! God damn it, I've lost him! The signal just went dead! What? Then get it back now, you hear? Somehow, some way, you find that signal. Systematically, frantically, they exhaust every possibility. Reconnection never happens. Both men know they've been pushed into a corner. So when the phone rings, they let it go without answering it longer than usual. Headquarters is checking in, as always, for a status report. As the conversation winds down, the two tracking agents stare at each other, sharing a chilling understanding. They know they've just become corpses. Through an elaborate infrastructure of legitimate and rogue government divisions, various calls are placed. A system has long been in place designed to conceal any sign of malfeasance, keeping those involved insulated from detection and each other, while completely shielding its ringmaster. And as you've no doubt become aware, I've been losing time to several distractions. Yes, Mr. Wynn. I suggest you devote yourself to finding our missing ape. I need speed and subtlety. The President already has his Boy Scouts camping at my door. For the 100th time, Sigor seemed intent on reaching New York in a hurry. Whether he's still in the alleys, there's no way of knowing. Later. The new team will be operational in a few hours. If that beast so much as sneezes, we'll know about it. Our real concern is that the public not find it first. I trust you can keep that from happening, especially with the number of police officers on your payroll. As for the previous group, when will they be taken care of? As we speak. Clack! The bodies of Sigor's preceding monitoring team will never be found where they're to be dumped, under tons of refuse in a distant landfill. Between them, they leave between 2 wives and 5 children. Indicates a growing lack of confidence in the president. The latest numbers show the president's approval rating has declined 4%, so that those who claim to be less than satisfied has risen to nearly 47%. This is the lowest approval rating for an American president since Jimmy Carter's during the Iranian hostage crisis. A White House spokesperson is quick to point out that the downturn has less to do with the president himself than with the broader topic of recent setbacks in international affairs. The foreign desk reports from our nation's embassies of unblinking disaster on a global scale. Spring galas have been unattended at catastrophic levels. The mere courtesy of an RSVP seems to be a thing of the past for some people. At least 4 of our most fashionable allies have been expressing distaste with failed peace talks or some such. Good grief, has everyone lost their sense of proportion? And it doesn't stop there. We used to be able to count on our overseas station agents to clean up the leftover cold cuts. Well, the few that show up kept looking over their shoulders. Maybe they didn't want to be caught taking overly large slices of the pie. This is the most remarkable thing yet. The US of A has lately gotten its fingers buried in places they've never even officially been. As a result, our Prexy is getting blindsided as high-level foreign chit-chat goes sour and then finds the fingerprints on most of the screw-ups belong to people of his own choosing. Talk about your classic double whammy. And while plausible deniability has never been more heavily invoked, I'm betting a couple of high-ranking officials at the CIA are feeling the noose tighten around their necks. Come on, Andy, we go through this every time. When are you gonna relax? I'm sorry, I just wish we could do this in the daytime. Yeah, whatever. Look, you heard what those bums said the other day. The Red Ghost lives in the darkness. It's gotta be Spawn. He's like some cool creature of the night now. Besides, I'm packing my blade. Don't worry. Oh, he's packing his blade, guys. Watch out. For all his bravado, Eddie Frank isn't as tough as he talks, though he and his attitude grows tougher every day. He's still very much a young boy from a small town. There are unwritten rules that guide nearly every activity of the homeless and outcast. Among them, no person should enter Rat City uninvited, for hidden in its deep shadows are things to be very afraid of. Even the most fearless risk running across their own personal boogeyman. Beware! Oh no, is it? Beware! Ah! Take your games elsewhere. There is no place for children in these alleys. Listen, old man. We're not looking for any trouble. Then you're in the wrong place. We're not very kind to trespassers, so it must be something quite important you're looking for. Spawn, that's what he called himself. At least he did the last time we met. I know of him. He doesn't have many friends. Is that what you are? You could say that, yeah. Police, he's the only one who can help us. Down there, another two blocks. You'll find what you're after. But you must do so on your own. He doesn't like much company. Sure, whatever. Cool. Not moving, Cogliostro stares, then motions the boys to follow. He leads them through a maze filled with vile odors that make Eddie and Andy choke. Then the wizened man stops. If you can somehow penetrate to his humanity, you'll have accomplished much. Good luck. With youthful enthusiasm, they venture on, unaware that Cogliostro knew exactly why they're here. He was testing them. Because the nightmare they've just walked into is real, littered with grotesque pieces of evil's failed servants, whose fate is to be lumped together with 100 more lost souls in a loathsome construct meant to comfort to hell's latest officer in training. Yet, given negligible impact of their crimes, this may be harsher than they deserve. This is where the new Shadow King now lives. His aura resonates with all who have an affinity for sin, paranoia, and fear. Moments later, holy! Look, it's some kind of throne, I think. That means you must live around here. Gross, I'm gonna puke. Quit acting like a baby. Then, both hear a rustling from behind. At first, they assume it's the wind. But as a chilling shadowy... As a chilling shadow engulfs them, they whisper frantic prayers, asking for protection, hoping for a miracle. God delivers one. Shloop! Spawn, it's you! Man, you had us scared there for a minute. I thought you were another one of those freaky homeless dudes. What a bunch of losers. Anyway, how you been? This place is really wicked, you know? I bet you scare the crap out of everyone, huh? With all this corpse stuff, and we saw all the blood smeared along the walls. Andy here was a bit scared. Was not! Who are you two? It's us. Don't you remember? The ones from Alabama. Eddie and Andy. So? What'd you do, run away from your father? Sorta. Andy killed him. He made the hurting stop. That's right, the son of a bitch deserved it. You should have seen the look in his eyes after you put them tattoos all over him. He was gonna rip us apart. Soon after I did him, the social workers put us with foster parents, a bunch of strict holy rollers. Yeah, so Andy burned their house by accident. The judge said we were bad. He didn't know how Papa beat us. No one did. His police friends didn't like us talking about it. No one wanted to listen to liars, they said. They sent us to kids' jail. We kept waiting for you to come get us, Mr. Spawn, but you never came. Why? Didn't matter. We got out anyway. Came all this way to see you. Now we're gonna stay with you. You what? Let me tell you something, Spawn. Andy's been talking about you every night you've been gone, dreaming about seeing you again. I promised him we'd look for you. We did. So what do you want? For us to beg?
You're not my problem.
Problem? Are you crazy? We didn't ask you to drive our dad nuts. We were doing fine before you showed up. But you made me have to kill my dad. This is all your fault. Now our whole lives are screwed up. Forget it. Let's get out of here, Andy. No, I'm not going back with you and Snake. He's not good making you do all that stuff. We need to stay here.
Didn't you hear him, Bozo? We wasted our time. Spawny boy here doesn't give a rat's ass about us.
No one does. He's just like Dad. So let's get back. I've got work to do.
No, stop it. Don't touch me. I'm not going.
Leave him alone.
Fine, suit yourself. You want to live with some faggot vampire, go ahead. I'm tired of always babysitting you anyways.
Eddie?
Poof, poof.
Hey, tough guy, where you been? You're late.
Out.
That's good. But what about your pickups? Brian Romanek phoned, said you never showed up. Like I said, I was out. Listen, Eddie, maybe I haven't made myself very clear. When I send you for a pickup, that's exactly what you do, got it? That means no side trips until you're finished. I got people pissed right now because of you. What am I supposed to do with you and... Hey, where's little Andy? Gone. Gone to spend the rest of his life with some loser named Spawn. What'd you say? Spawn, you know, your city's version of Batman. We met him about a year ago. You're messed up, kid. Shut up. You want me to believe you visited this Spawn tonight? Believe what you want. Don't bug me. Kid, look at me. You telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. Snakey's lying. No one knows where. Quiet. Use your brain for a second, Eddie. Here. Excuse me. Let's try that one again. Use your brain for a second. Eddie here hasn't left his brother... hasn't let his brother out of his sights once since they got to New York. They're inseparable. Yet here he sits without him like everything's okay. That indicates something. Andy, you might not know this, but Spawn happens to be one of our drops. Problem is, we haven't been able to find him of late. I'll give you an extra 20 if you can drop a parcel off to him tomorrow. Sure, why not, he thinks. Plus, then he can see if his brother's still coping. Don't lose him. Snake and his gang follow through infectious filth into the labyrinth, unaware that they who pursue young Eddie are themselves being watched. For the Bowery lives by its own unspoken laws. Easy now, my friends. This is not our concern. Just as we let those two children pass last night, so we must let these outsiders make their way. Forces beyond our comprehension are at work now. Fate is about to play another of its perverse hands. So how do you want this handled, like usual? Let me take the point. When we get to where Spawn is, I'll need you to cover my flanks. Then we'll blow away his sorry ass. I'm tired of him costing me business. Ever since he arrived, my scores have been nervous, but no one's been able to get a bead on him. Thanks to our new recruit, that's about to change. I'm looking for my brother. Where is he? Leave me alone! Answer the question and I will. The skittish former hostage is hassled by Eddie for 10 minutes. He reveals nothing. Then screw ya. I don't... I'll take it from here, boy. Snake? I'm gonna make this very simple. By the count of three, if you haven't friggin' told me where Spawn is, your brains are gonna be decorating that wall. See, me and my associates don't take kindly to your hero's activities. Ain't that right, fellas? Fellas? Jimmy? Sanchez? Where are ya? Clink? Snake? Why are you doing this? Shut up, Eddie. Okay, hero, showtime's over. Brother? Come here, kid. Cock, show yourself, freak, before I waste this kid. Sanchez, Jimmy, get ready. Your friends won't be much help. I've already seen to that. Now it's your turn. Suck me, you goddamn spook. Bam, bam, bam. 3 shots hit what should have been a chest. The reality is something far more frightening. Christ, where'd those come from? Then from behind. Put my brother down. Instinctively, the madman reacts. Bam! Bam! Andy? No, I'll kill you, Snake. It was meant as a threat, nothing more. As the situation explodes, as fate plays its trump card, throwing things off balance, literally. He's going to need a doctor. Sure, we need to hurry, though, please. He's hurt bad. It's gonna be okay, Andy. You just lay nice and still now. I'm so sorry this happened. I meant to protect you. I should never have left you. I promised Mom you... Oh, that's the wrong fucking voice. I'm so sorry this happened. I meant to protect you. I should never have left you. I promised Mom you'd always be safe.
I know people who can help.
Summoning a few of his loyal followers, Spawn gives orders. The nearest care center is only a few blocks away. Nurses there have learned not to ask many questions. Instead, they heal the underprivileged, comforting both physical and emotional pain. Hours later, the children return. They said it was mostly a flesh wound. Not much damage, though. He's going to have his arm in a sling for a few weeks. I wish you could come with us, Mr. Spawn.
So do I, Andy. But just like with you, running away won't solve my problems either. Take care of yourselves.
As they turn to go, he wants to say so much more to them. He remains silent. A few days later, they arrive back in Florence. The staff at the juvenile center are startled that they've returned voluntarily. Both will receive the standard lectures as well as having many of their privileges temporarily revoked. When the other youths began taunting them again, they soon tire of it because they are drawing no reaction. And though no one mentions it aloud, they all sense that Andy and Eddie have changed, become more distant. They see it in their eyes. And since the two boys have taken a vow of silence, the others can do little but wonder. What baffles the counselors even further is how a couple of decent small-town kids could change in such a short time into cold, emotionless individuals with the capacity for murder. And what could have stripped them of their innocence at such a young age? Okay, Ron vanished. So, I think we can probably do one more, and then that'll be it for this part, and then the next part on April, we'll finish it. It's been said that we shall each reap what we sow. Eventually, there will occur a balance based on the choices and actions we make in life. Whatever is then carried out upon us at death is not judgment, but sentencing. For God is merely facilitating our self-determined fate, having allowed each of us to be our own masters, to be in control of our own destinies. With a million paths to choose from, only one thing guides us. Guilt, the inner voice we ignore at our peril. The voice which, for some, leads to the creation of a personal hell. Sleep tight, Angel. Oh, man, I don't know why I feel so restless tonight. Terry! Jesus, what are you doing here? Delivering a message. I'm getting restless sitting around waiting for you to tell me when I can move against wind. Let's put a finish to this. I'm working on it. Not fast enough. Major Forsberg isn't responding the way you thought, so it's time for a plan B. See, I don't like my idle time. Crazy things happen. Innocents get hurt. Because of me and my existence. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't I? You tell that to a couple of kids I met. One has a bullet hole in him. The other is a murderer. So what do you want me to do? Speed things up. Detox Forsberg. Anything. I'm tired of living this nightmare while you're sleeping with my wife. You back off, Al. This has nothing to do with Wanda. I'm pushing as hard as I can. We just need to be a little more patient. You've changed so much, Al. Why? We both have. The difference is, after Wynn's dead, your life becomes normal again. Terry, what are you doing? Wanda! You like standing in the dark talking to yourself? Myself? I'm just practicing for a speech I'm giving this morning. The remainder of the night is marked by an uneasiness that allows Terry little rest, and then suddenly it's morning. Sorry to rush, sweetie, but I've got to give a big speech, I know. Yeah. Go work now, Dada? That's right. Give me a kiss, Cyan. And don't forget to untie your mom before I get home. Bye-bye. I'll be back around 6. As her husband drives away, Wanda gazes at Cyan's beaming smile, thinks how her daughter has become Daddy's girl as of late. After breakfast, the day's events begin. Some deal with the children's new hospital wing her volunteer organization is in the midst of financing. Other tasks, like restocking the fridge, aren't quite as complicated and are much more fun. This is what has become important to her. After too many months of the same old grind at the law offices, dragging cases out so that the firm would have more billable hours. When her first husband died, it seemed to put things into perspective. Getting her smile back and raising a family were at the top of her list. Raising, guiding the child she so desperately prayed for. There was a time when none of this was possible. She accepted that. Her husband wasn't able to help conceive a child. That haunted him every day. For he felt his greatest failure was in not being able to give his wife what she wanted most. Tortured by that fact, he thought himself less of a man. It focused his intensity into his work, pushing him to become the government's most elite killing machine. A true soldier is what he liked to call himself, until the day his life was cut short. At his gravesite, Wanda prayed that his tormented soul had finally found peace under God's careful watch. That belief helps her sleep at night. The reality is nothing less than disturbing. Al Simmons has been transformed into one of Hell's undead, though it appears in human form, his new necroplasmic body is anything but. Paired with an emblematic symbiote that acts as both armor and caregiver, Hell's new agent holds sway over the evil aura which permeates each night. This unholy connection to other conduits of sin now orders them to engulf its victim when consciousness appears close. To clog every orifice, constricting oxygen flow, rendering the enemy completely helpless. Since time forgotten, the ritual has been repeated. Though it isn't the cybernetic gorilla that interests Hellspawn.
You have something I want, Major, and I'm tired of waiting. So whatever you have to do to reach inside that frail brain of yours, I suggest you do it now. Because with or without your help, I'm taking Jason Wynn down. It's just a matter of whether you want to make this any easier on yourself. You know why? Because everything you see now, all this that you're afraid of happened because of him. He created me, just like he destroyed you. And we're just two of thousands. He's stolen from us. Anything we cared for became a target, just like your family. So, you've got exactly 3 hours to come to your senses. That's when I'll be back. There's something I need to do first. Forsberg stares as Spawn steps back into the black abyss of surrounding shadows. They appear to devour him whole as the icy blackness blankets his form, leaving a pair of glowing green slits as the only evidence that he's Grim Reaper. Excuse me, let's try that one again, guys. They appear to devour him whole as the icy blackness blankets his form, leaving a pair of glowing green slits as the only evidence that Hell's Grim Reaper had been there at all. In a blink, they vanish. So too do the sounds of snapping chains and leathery cloak. Oh, Kiss. Okay, more Kiss stuff in here. Major Forsberg collapses in the refuse, knowing that somehow the Hellspawn is there no longer. As washed-out clouds of gray scatter across Manhattan's silhouetted constructs, a winged shape appears 12 blocks east and moves with a purpose, a hunger, to destroy those who took from him. He is haunted by the images of innocents whose souls is tainted, has unwittingly planted the seed of evil. It's time to end the madness. Unfortunately, with all the disruptions taking place overseas, a few borderline clients have pulled their financial support. Specifically, Egypt and Israel. On another matter, Mattson in Division 12 has asked me to deliver this to you. What is it? The results of his probe for internal security breaches. He said you know what to look for. Well, isn't this a surprise? One of my new recruits has been putting in a little unsupervised overtime. Fitzgerald? Isn't he right here in your division, sir? Unbelievable. Give me a record of every time he's used his clearance online since he arrived. Then cross-reference with our databases to see which were accessed at the same time. My guess is we've just found our leak. And the reason for all those coincidental disasters. Uh-oh. Wow, that's sure a pretty son, Cyan. Thanks. You're welcome, sweetie. Mama? Yes? This Lulu crayon? No, that's a red one. Not a yellow. Oh. I didn't know you could draw so good. Maybe we should tape it to the fridge and show Daddy when he gets home. Make Moon, too? That's a good idea. Remember, just like a big banana. Two rings later in another room. Hello? Hello? Silence. No tone. Nothing. It's as if the line is dead. Whatever. You finished with your... Cyan? Are you playing tricks on Mommy again? I'm gonna get you. Nope, not there. A quick search. The usual spots turn up empty. Cyan? Mommy's getting mad. I need you to come here, please. Though there aren't any good hiding places in her daughter's room, Cyan has been known to put her back against the far wall while covering her eyes, thinking no one can see where she is. The parents like to play along. It's time to come out, Cyan. The game is over. Cyan? Fear. Like a death grip, it squeezes Wanda's heart, while she stared down, pierced by Hell's evil leer. A blur of crimson streaks forward. Then all goes black for a long time. I told you we were just coloring. I didn't hear anything. How'd you think he got in? There's no evidence of forced entry. I don't know. The front door, maybe?
You said you kept that door locked. I did. When the phone rang, I wasn't watching. Oh God, my baby. I'm sorry. Ka-chock. And how long did that take? A minute, maybe. No one was on the other line. Did your child have any identifying marks, scars? She has a birthmark across her tummy. It's fairly noticeable. Clink, clink. Now, about this spawn. Why do you think he'd want to kidnap your daughter? Sob. I don't know. He once helped save my husband, but the last time he was here, he... You mean this wasn't his first visit? Did you ever report this? No. Why not? Nzzz. As the questioning proceeds, it wavers between compassion and accusation, stopping only when Wanda is emotionally overwhelmed. We apologize for how long this is taking, Miss Blake, but we want to be sure we're covering all the bases. It's all right. I'll be fine. I just want my baby back. We understand. She's almost three. I think I told you that already. All she talked about yesterday was her birthday, the cake, the balloons, how she wanted to wear a pretty dress. I promised she could wear it. Now she's gone. My God, we have to get her back, but please, she needs her mommy. Wanda! Have they found her yet? Do they know where she is? Terry, thank God you're home. Are you the husband? Yes. Your wife said she didn't give your secretary any details, so maybe you can help us. First by telling us what your relationship is with this so-called spawn. What? Do you know who he is, where he lives, why he keeps coming here? The alleys. Back around the shipping docks in the city. I saw him there before, after he saved my husband. I'll show you where. Actually, he's moved, deeper into the back streets, a place called Rat City. I've been there. I can draw you a map. Eventually, the officers go, leaving behind a couple struggling for answers to their own questions. Why? Why did he take our girl? Who is he? Damn it, you're hiding something from me. What can he possibly say? Your dead husband is alive, turned into some super creature. He now has her child because of what? Jealousy, revenge. It doesn't make sense, so rather than add to her agony right now, he chooses to hide the truth. Spawn isn't what's important. It's Cyan. He prays she's all right. As the night grows deeper, police from both Queens and Manhattan coordinate their efforts before then descending on the territory of the homeless. Like howling wolves cursing the moon, the wail of sirens builds, then suddenly stops. From the rear of police vans, men clad in black techno gear pour out. Systematically, they canvass the back streets no sane citizen dares ever visit. Their mission, quite simply, find some vampiric nutcase known as Spawn. An extensive description was given to each man. Their target would be hard not to notice. Finding him is quite another matter. The bums are known to hide their secrets well. Among them, when need be, a man can just up and vanish, so asking their cooperation and exposing their king would be pointless. Instead, like silent robots, the task force penetrates deeper, into the heart of Rat City, stumbling over the grotesque detritus of a hellspawn's existence. Christ! As they stare at the unholy sight, the youngest of the group begins to convulse. What kind of depraved creature lives in such squalor? Only their protective masks keep the men from gagging on this putrid, acidic stench. It sources the rotting flesh comprising what appears to be a throne of human remains. Rats and maggots feast on the charnel mound, gnawing away at the few remaining parts with meaty flesh. As they slowly come to accept what they see, all are unaware that he whom they now seek has become acutely aware of their presence, and worse, is already prepared for war. Worst of all, he doesn't know why any of this is happening. This is actually fun. Just depends on your interpretation. What you artless humans see as a sun with rays of light jutting outward, I see as a head being pierced by a bunch of nails. What you think? Good. But not great, huh? You think you're so damn clever, don't you? Fine. Then get back to work. I was only trying to help you. No, I don't wanna. Tis. You want this back, right? It's what you've been crying for. Well, get drawing then. Okay. This is going quite swimmingly, if I do say so myself. I'm tired. I want my mommy. Yeah, whatever. You want to go to bed, then finish papering these walls. I want another 53 sketches before I let you sleep. Understand me? I don't give a crap if it takes all night. That's your problem. You little twerp. Damn. Okay, it's not what I expected. Issue 60, April 97, Dwarfed. All right. So, things took a turn for the worse, but Spawn's going to do something about it. You can be sure of that. At any rate, this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We'll see you next time for more great comics. Remember, Spawn at the end of April. Stay tuned.